hit Myanmar, which is the strongest that the country experienced for about a century. It caused huge casualties, including the collapse of ancient and modern buildings and thousands of deaths. As of April 1st, the death toll has reached over 2,700 and is expected to increase for the next few days. More than 4,500 were injured and more than 400 are reported missing. Rescue efforts continue as they attempt to find people stuck under the rubble. Meanwhile, there has been inefficient disaster response as local military conflicts restrict access to struck areas and limited international assistance, particularly with U.S. President Donald Trump defunding the aid group USAID. A new study shows that the U.S. tariffs on pharmaceuticals will likely drive up costs and lead to shortages of Canadian-made drugs. Author of the study, Mina Tadros, who is a drug policy researcher at the University of Toronto, found that accessing essential drugs where the most known or used products are Canadian can become difficult. These include medications for treating HIV infections and preventing seizures. Although trade agreements between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada exempt imported pharmaceutical products from tariffs, the new round of tariff announcements expected on April 2nd is causing uncertainties. Tadros said that minor shifts in supply chains create shortages because manufacturers cannot quickly meet increased demands, and that these could affect both the U.S. and Canada. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Everyone, sorry for the late start. This is DJ Zona, and you are listening to On the Right Track. And today, I'm going to be talking to you about dubstep. There have been some really exciting new releases in the last week, so I'm really excited to share these with you guys, and also to talk about the genre that actually got me into EDM and into raving and the rave scene in general. So let's get started. So dubstep comes from the UK in the early 2000s is when it started to show up in music production. It is a combination of reggae dub and two-step, and it's actually the reggae dub drum pattern that ended up defining the genre. So dubstep is at about 132 to 142 BPM. When it first emerged, some people referred to it as 140. That's what they called the genre. It uses shuffled syncopated rhythms and incorporates tuplets. So while most EDM genres like house, techno, etc., use the four on the floor beat pattern, dubstep actually does a kick on the one and a snare on the three, making it a little chopped up. Another thing is, of course, the driving deep bass lines called wubs or wobble bass. There's actually a whole other genre called wobble, but we're not going to be getting into that today. For wobble bass is actually an extended bass note manipulated rhythmically, either by volume, filter cutoff, or with distortion. Dubstep was originally an offshoot of UK garage with elements of broken beat, grime, and D&B. You can still hear those influences in a lot of the music that you'll hear today and in the scene today. And the term dubstep was actually coined in 2002 when the style started to differentiate itself from the other more popular EDM genres at the time. But the origins of dubstep can actually be traced back to Jamaican sound system party scene in the 80s, which is really interesting. Like I said, dub reggae influenced so many of the EDM genres that we know today, especially the ones that originated in the UK and that are more like bass focused. So without further ado, let's get into it. I'm sure a lot of you have heard the new Subtronics album, Fibonacci Part 1, that dropped this week, just a few days ago, actually. And I think it's incredible, but I'm going to show you. So enjoy. We'll be right back.
Check it out, baby. We'll be right back. fuck in.
Locked in here. This is it.
Locked in. Damn.
Now you must lock in.
To the top and ain't got no motion because you won't lock in. Lock in.
Feeling overwhelmed by the state of the world? You're not alone. Join Mosaic for How to Choose Between Apathy and Empathy in an Overwhelming World, a workshop designed to help you navigate burnout, cultivate compassion, and balance your mental and emotional well-being. Join us on April 11th at the Hall Building. For more info, visit our website at mosaic.org.
Tune in to Fukubukuro on Saturdays at 8 p.m. for your weekly grab bag of music from Japan, East Asia, and everywhere else. Only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Okay, so right before that ad break, that was Oblivion, Moth Claws, Brass Danger, and Lock In by Subtronics from the new album that just came out a couple of days ago. First of all, just incredible. Loved it. This has been, I think, a long time coming. But anyways, back to dubstep and where it comes from and kind of how this all became a thing. So dubstep really became, it really like stayed in the UK dance scene until around 2005, where some DJs brought it to a club in Brooklyn. And that is where it started to gain traction in the United States, which a lot of dubstep is really associated with the US or just like North America in general. I feel like people don't really associate dubstep as we know it today with the UK, even though that's where it started. So yeah, the brand of dubstep that really gained traction in America is what we know today as brostep. And it became so popular that it like dominated the clubs and then ended up getting into the outdoor festival scene. It was so big that they moved it to bigger festival events. It started to become commercially successful in about the early 2010s. The beat patterns and the sounds associated with dubstep were even being used by pop artists. So much of pop music at the time was very influenced by EDM and by dubstep specifically. It gave way to a plethora of subgenres. There's future garage, rhythm slash trench, which I've talked about in my first episode, trap, which is hip hop mixed with dubstep, and post dubstep, which was kind of like a counterculture thing to bro step, where they wanted to make it less aggressive and a bit more, I actually don't know what word to use for this, but I guess more like maybe a little bit more pretentious. I don't know. You can look into it and decide that for yourself. But yeah, a lot of dubstep DJs also do a lot of genre blending. I've heard a lot of genre blending with techno or even classical music. I've been seeing videos of this one guy who has been blending dubstep and jazz, which I think has been amazing. I don't have any of his songs for you here today, but if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It's really cool. One of the most popular genres that tends to blend with dubstep well is actually metal. And one of the reasons that metal is so popular for blending with dubstep is because the distorted bass riffs that we know in dubstep are actually in the same register as like heavy metal electric guitar riffs. And so we know a lot of DJs that do that. There's like Sullivan King, classic example. But yeah, that being said, I've got a couple of examples of that for you tonight. So we've got some songs coming up by, we've got Snails, Sudden Death, Stoned Level. So stay tuned. This is On the Right Track on CJLO 1690 and enjoy the dubstep.
This metal up in front of my nose. I'll be creeping like a demon. Face it till I overdose. Sing my face till it's even. Talk from the ceiling. And now for show. I'm a god, I'm craving seaside season. You won't get to know. You won't get to know. Headhunt, it's a speed run through the dungeon. Their blood cutting for fun. Bring the mansion rest. Time to put him to bed. There's no death in the hallways. I call of the end. You're lost.
the mansion. Bread. both know your new man.
Right, so that was a lot of Snails, who is actually a Montreal local DJ. Well, he's not that local anymore. He's huge, but you know what I mean. He's from Montreal, base capital, shout out. And The next songs were, we had some Sudden Death, some Stoned Level. Stoned Level is also from Montreal, so again, shout out Bass Capital. But yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys a bit about dubstep culture. So actually, dubstep was my introduction to rave culture and to EDM in general, and it's actually what got me into this, and it is the reason that you're hearing me right now. Yeah, so dubstep culture is really interesting, especially the way that it exploded in the United States, or I guess in North America, because of course Canada has a lot of influence from the United States when it comes to subculture and music culture. But there's so many things in dubstep that just kind of combined or melded or meshed with cultural practices from different scenes. Like I said, the huge influence of like metal and like mixing metal music with dubstep, you can see those influences even in the crowd and the way that people move and the way that people dance. One of the like biggest things for dubstep is you'll see people headbanging, you'll see people opening up mosh pits and running into each other. You'll even have some DJs who will open up a wall of death, which is something that is very specific to like metal culture, but somehow also translated over into dubstep culture, which I think is super interesting. There's also the practices like trading candy, for example, which is, if you don't know, candy are those colorful bead bracelets with the words on them. People love to add little charms or make extra decorations to go with the bracelets. And when you trade bracelets with people that you meet at the festival, and it's such a cute and wholesome practice. And that was actually, there's definitely an influence of the scene. Well, the scene kids scene, which is kind of funny to say, within that, where it's like these colorful bracelets or people dressing up with like dyed hair or a lot of accessories or really bright colors, which again, we love when genres mix together to create something new and beautiful. One of my favorite things about the candy culture is, candy kids, which came out of scene culture. You got what I was saying. Anyways, one of my favorite things about it is the way that people trade the bracelets is, I think, really wholesome and adorable. It's through the rave motto PLUR, P-L-U-R, which stands for peace, love, unity, respect. And you basically make the symbols with your hands as you trade the bracelets, which I think is really cute. Anyways, next up, I've got some Jessica Audifred and Nostalgics and Samplifier for you guys. So I'm gonna get on with it because I got to say my little piece about dubstep culture. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. This is On the Right Track on CJLO 1690.
Thank you. I'm losing myself again, myself again, myself again, my love, my love. Need someone to hold again, don't wanna be alone again, my love, my love. Cause you give me
MRG Live presents Goldie Boutillier live in Montreal on Tuesday, April 8th. The acclaimed Maritime singer-songwriter is kicking off her 2025 North American Goldie Montana tour with a cinematic performance that will include songs from her upcoming album. Come out to La Sala Rosa on April 8th for a night of retropop with an alt-country flair. This is one you won't want to miss. That's Goldie Boutillier, live at La Sala Rosa on Tuesday, April 8th. For tickets and more information, go to mrglive.com.
The Groove Masters Hour on CJLO 1690 on your AM dial. Every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. The Groove on your way home. 514-848-7471. Give us a call.
Excuse me. Is that your real voice?
I'm not afraid to
Okay, so that was Mess by Jessica Audifred, Power by Nostalgics and Bipolar Sunshine, and Around the World by Jessica Audifred and Samplifier. So getting back to my talking points, you obviously can't talk about dubstep without bringing up Skrillex. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Skrillex. I actually got to see Skrillex at Contact Festival in Vancouver in 2018, where he headlined, I think, day one, when he was still in his kind of like OG bro step era with the side part and everything, not what he looks like today at all. But yeah, I think that was kind of the end, nearing the end of that era. But anyways, Skrillex is actually the guy who made brostep a thing and was the reason that dubstep became so mainstream and so widely popular in the early 2010s. He added like the more robotic fluctuations and metal-esque aggression that we know of dubstep today. And of course, if you know dubstep at all, you know that Skrillex also just released an album last week, and that there was absolutely no promo for this album. And I've heard that a lot of it is actually just him trolling his record label that he's been with for 15 years. The album is more of a mixtape. Like, most of the songs are under a minute or just over a minute long, and they all transition into each other very smoothly. He collabs with a lot of people. Of course, there's Virtual Riot, there's Space Laces, and a lot of others. It's a really funny album, to be honest. And a lot of people are thinking that it's kind of a nod to the past and possibly a releasing of all those tracks that he lost when he lost his laptop back in, what was it, 2011, I want to say? Something like that. But yeah, Skrillex is now known today as like the god of dubstep or the father of dubstep or whatever. And I think a lot of people have negative associations with specifically the kind of dubstep that he makes, but I think it can be a lot of fun if you just don't take it too seriously. So anyways, I'm going to play you some of the songs from his new album. So enjoy.
As the world fell into chaos and walked into the light, this is Skrillex.
Skrillex is dead.
DJ Smokey recommends you listen to this album from start to finish. Thank you for not skipping.
Let's go.
So unfortunately, that is all we have time for today. That was only the first two tracks on the new album. I definitely recommend you go listen to the whole thing. But thank you so much for listening. This is DJ Zona. You've been listening to On the Right Track. And you'll get a little bit of an outro song to for a few seconds at the end there. But this has been CJLO 1690. Thank you so much for listening.